Ladies, heart of a woman tonight. All right. Doors open 5:30-ish. 5:15. And for a $20 bill, you can get in at 5. So we can work that out. It is going to be amazing. I'm aware of some of the stuff going on behind the scenes and what all's going to be happening and the set and the worship and the message. And then here's something else. Do not underestimate this. The power, the absolute power and energy you're going to get just from gathering together, ladies gathering with other ladies in the name of Jesus in a night set apart for you. I'm telling you, some of y'all are going to be either laughing or crying on your way in because you're going to know I'm supposed to be here tonight. And so, ladies, get here, and you're going to have an awesome time. Guys, help them to get here, okay? Let them have the car. Watch the kids. Do something, okay? And it's going to be an awesome night for all the ladies. Well, let's get into the Word. We're in a series called All In. Everybody say All In.
All In.
And last month, we talked about prayer. We're talking about the Word in February. Guess what? February is almost done, and next week we'll actually be in March. And we'll start to talk about worship next week and all of next month. And the goal of this is that you, say that's me, that you would feel confident and have some proficiency for yourself in prayer, in reading and understanding God's Word, of being a worshiper. I don't know what it is, besides the enemy and maybe flawed thinking over the years, that most people think, well, I could never really read or understand God's Word, or my prayers really don't get through. I know some people that know how to pray. I'll get to them, or worship. Well, I enjoy it, but I'm not really a, hey, no. These are vital things that need to be a part of your life. They're life-changing for you. This brings so much energy and joy into your life and helps you to tap into the presence, the power of God, to help you and ultimately so you can help some others as well. Amen?
Amen?
Now, we are talking about the Word, and let me just remind you of a few things about the Word, and I mean every word that I'm about to tell you counts and matters. First of all, the Bible is God's Word.
Amen.
It is more than a book, and God's Word is God speaking to you, and it's God's voice. I love this. It's God's voice in written form, and we need to honor and love God's Word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's inspired, it's truth, it's true, it's timeless, it is forever settled, it's divine, it's consistent, it's inerrant, it's authoritative, it's eternal, it's trustworthy, it's life-giving, it's life-changing, and it endures forever, and His truth endures to all generations. So whatever generation you're part of, say this with me. This is my book. Come on, a little more heat on that. This is my book. And don't let culture or your two friends or something you saw on TV or whatever along the way talk you out of God's Word being your Word. This is God speaking to you, and He has supernaturally inspired it and preserved it and helped it to travel through so much persecution and so much effort to block and destroy God's Word so that it could get to you. God is still speaking to you. The number one way that God reveals Himself to you is through His Word. And the number one way that God gets instruction and guidance and wisdom for life so that you can win in life is through God's Word. And so we've got to realize that, love God's Word, and know how to get into God's Word. And I'm telling you what, every bit of it, all Scripture is inspired. And again, it is God's voice in written form. Now, some people take that a little weird, and we want to know God's voice. How many of you want to know God's voice? Okay, I'd heard this years ago. Stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. Okay? Now, God does speak to us by His Spirit, spirit to spirit, and we are to be led by the Spirit. Absolutely. But the number one main way that's going to keep you concrete on track is through His Word. And His Word never changes. Aren't you glad about that? Wouldn't it be horrible that about mid-January you get a new packet in the mail of all the updates, addendums, and things that have been changed. Your 2025 version of the Bible. I'm so glad this is forever settled and it's truth and it endures. Amen. Amen. Now, so much to cover. I want to actually pick up kind of where we left off last week. And today's a little different how I deliver this message because I want to give you some nuts and bolts. It's just vital that we get these nuts and bolts. I wrestled for 2 years in high school, and I was shorter then. And when I started wrestling, we spent 2.5 weeks just getting in shape, just running, 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 running. And then we watched films. Do y'all know what films are? We watched films of watch this and this, and then the coach and one kid who was really good would show us things. It was 2.5, it was 3 weeks before we got to do anything. And it's like, come on, I got on the wrestling team so I could wrestle. And we're doing all this other stuff. But you know what? After those 3 weeks, we were in shape. We knew what this looked like and what to do. And we had some reference points to go on. So you have to get the nuts and bolts. We have to get some things ahead of time so that then we can dive in and actually make some sense and make some good progress. Amen? I want to encourage you, go back and review. It's easy to go back and review the messages online in a number of different ways. So let's pick up kind of where we left last week on this daily reading. How many of you know you should read the Bible every day?
Yep.
1, 2. Okay. Well, let me just go ahead and tell the rest of you. You need to be reading the Bible every day.
Amen.
Every day. It is your daily bread. And I gave you a little bit because you don't want to just meander around. And you don't want to just, you know, okay, where do I read today? You don't want to do that. You need to have a plan and you need to have a destination. You're not just wandering around because otherwise by day 3, you're going to be frustrated. Nothing's going to be happening with it. And so I shared with you last week, read a proverb every day. Today's the 23rd, so read Proverbs 23. There's 31 Proverbs. Most months have. Okay, for the rest of you, most months have 31 days. And so just read the corresponding one there. Be in the Gospels all the time. Right now I'm in the Gospel of Mark. Follow around Jesus. You don't have to read a whole chapter even. The editors have divided up. Maybe there's a miracle that Jesus did, or he taught something, or he interacted with somebody or a group or nature or demons or whatever. And it's 6-8 verses, and take your time. You know, if this is our daily bread, don't eat the whole loaf. Eat a couple of slices and enjoy it. Okay, and get something out of it and follow Jesus in that way and pay close attention. Also, as New Testament believers, get into the letters or the epistles. That's from after the book of Acts all the way to the end until Revelation. That's all the letters. They're short. You don't even have to read all of them in one setting. Again, read those sections. It's instruction to us on how to live. And because you want to get something out of it, not just, I read that. You want to walk away with knowing something. I was reading the other day in Romans 12:18, and it just stuck out to me. As far as is possible with you, be at peace with all people. And that in my reading of about 6-8 verses just stuck out to me and just reminded me, and I knew it. But it's like, as much as depends on me, then I'm to do what I need to do to be at peace with all people. And let the Word of God speak to you in that way. And then also, Psalms at night. During the day, you lose some of your courage and hope kind of gets drained and beat out of you. And Psalms puts that kind of back into you. In the evening is a good time to do that. You should have a reading plan. You can find YouVersion or a number of other ways to do it. And then as a minimal, get you a daily devotional. It's usually one page. It's a verse, a little bit of commentary, and a declaration or prayer. And at the very least, before you get going on your day, get into that devotional. A lot of them have morning and evening. You know, sometimes I don't have time for breakfast. What do? You grab a banana, you know. And so your devotion, I hate to equate a devotion with a banana, but do you get my point? Okay. And you're at least getting that and getting going. So daily reading. Next is this, regular study. Come on, everybody say regular study.
Regular study.
This is probably not every day. okay? This is probably not every, this maybe is once a week. Maybe this is twice a week. Maybe, you know, you're going to kind of work that out. But you need to have regular study where you set apart some time and you take some of the tools that we'll talk about today and you get in and study one of the books of the Bible or a topic in the Bible or a character in the Bible or an event in the Bible and some cross-reference and work deep in that, and that will help you. So daily reading, regular study, and then teaching. Come on, everybody say teaching. Kind of like what we're doing right now. And so Bible prescribes that there's a house where you are fed. The Bible describes that you need to sit under sound doctrine and clear teaching. One of Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. One of his major concerns was sound doctrine, because doctrine is what you are taught and what you believe. And what you believe governs your life. And so it's very, very important that you sit under where the Word of God is being rightly divided so that you can learn and have that sound doctrine in your life. Daily reading, regular study, and teaching. Somebody say something. Amen. All right. Let's move on. Time and space. Time and space. You need to make Bible reading and Bible study a priority. Priority. Would you say priority? What is the root word of priority? Prior. What does prior mean? Ahead of. So you're going to put God's word ahead of some other things. So you create, that shows up in time and space in your life, that it is worth my time, that I will make time to do this. I must make sure that I do this rather than lame excuses or letting busyness get in the way, or this one, if I have any time left over. You won't. You won't. You won't have time left over. And plus, you're not to give God your leftovers. So if it's a priority, I need to do it ahead of time. So I just don't have that time. Yeah, you probably do. You could probably check on your computer or on your phone screen time. And there might be a little time there that's not so life-changing that you're giving a lot of time to. I don't know. Instagram, news, some game, or whatever else. And we're spending and losing a lot of time. I had a game on my phone, chess, and I like to play it, but it was 5 minutes. Games, but it was 5 minutes per side. So I had 5 minutes, they had 5 minutes, and you could adjust it from 3 minutes to 10 minutes to whatever. And so if I sat down to play a game, and then if I won, I feel like, well, I'm going to play somebody else. And then if I lost, I go, well, I'm not a loser. And so the next thing you know, it's not 10 minutes, it's 20 minutes, and it's 30 minutes, and it changed my life. No, it didn't. Not at all. And so not that long ago, I thought, I'm going to put that on again. And I'm not being over spiritual, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, really? I thought, no. So I didn't. But you have the time. And make space and time, not out of obligation, but out of hunger. And out of need and out of knowledge that I need this and it's the best thing for me. Make room, make time, take your time, and adjust so that you have time and space. And I'm going to lose some of you with this. Here's just an idea. Wake up earlier. Okay? Why? So I can put it prior. So I can put it ahead. And sometimes, well, I know this for me, and I make this a pattern, a practice in my life, to do that first, because before you get busy and scattered and crowded with all kinds of other things, let God speak to you through His Word to start with. Amen. Amen. Now, daily Bible reading, on average, and it's up to you, there are no laws or rules on this, it's going to take you about 15, 20, 30 minutes, what I told you earlier, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Bible study, which is regular, so you have daily Bible reading, and then your regular Bible study, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, you know, where you're taking the tools, you're setting apart the time, and I'm going to dig in on this, make notes, learn things, and very important there. Time really matters. Fuchsia Pickett, Alicia and I had the honor to sit under some of her teaching. She's passed on, I don't know, she was like 200 years old when we heard her. And a little tiny, powerful woman of God. I mean, she walked in the room, you felt it. She spoke, you felt it. Just the presence of God. I want to be that. Not a tiny little woman, but powerful in God. Did I say that right? But here's a quote by her. Unwise use of time is one of the greatest deterrents to Christian growth. Bible study is the most effective tool of the Holy Spirit to bring the Christian into conformity to Christ. Understandably, Satan uses every device possible to keep us from the Word of God. Let that provoke you. The tragedy of our culture is the pace of it. And we've got to make time and we've got to slow down. Listen to this. Just as church days affect the rest of our days, I believe that Bible moments affect the rest of your moments. So we need to make time and space for words, for God's Word. This is vital to our lives. Can I get an amen from the church today? Second is tools. Now, this is nuts and bolts, okay? So hang on with me here. First of all, you need to get a good... There you go. There you go. You need to get a good study Bible. Now, I'm going to give away here a couple in a minute. This one's kind of special. I won't go into the whole story, but a precious lady who was part of our church for a number of years, and this is just gently used, and she passed on and went home to be with the Lord, and her husband gave this to me to give away. This is precious. I may want to just do this one personally later. I kind of have something in my heart for that. And you're going, no, I want it, but we'll see. I was made aware that I've been cheating the left and right sides here. So I need to, somebody over here that really will, okay, I see a hand back there. Lady with blonde hair, you got your hand up. Yeah, this is yours. Would you take that to her? Go ahead and stand up and give her a good God bless. It's her Bible. A lady in kind of a tealish green got her hand up right there. Would you get that? David, somebody get that to her. There you go. Pastor Dick, see her right there. There you go. Give her a good God bless. All right, I'm going to call y'all every morning, make sure you're using it. All right. You got to get a good study Bible. The Bible said I just gave away. You can get them online, you know where. And for anywhere from $20, $30, all the way up to about $50. If you want to go leather, you can go nuts with leather, $70 to $150 or whatever. But get a good study Bible because of the tools that are already there for you. Cross-reference, word study, who wrote this, who did they write it to, what was going on, what does this mean, where else is this, articles on that. It is just such a help because you have a team of scholars that have helped to put that together. Next, very important, is get a translation that fits you. So I want to show you some translations, and then we're going to compare them real quick, okay? So first of all, translations, New King James Version, the NKJV, English Standard Version, these are ones that I recommend, New International Version, the NIV, New Living Translation, second edition, it's the NLT, New American Standard Bible, NASB, and it was either in 2020 or 2022, they came out with a new revised one, Amplified Bible, and today's English Version. Now, here's the thing about a translation. Hear me on this. There have been teams of scholars that do in-depth, lengthy research into the language, culture, context, all of that, and then bring it into today's vernacular. You and I could not do that by ourselves. And it is accurate to the original language and culture and brought into our day. It's God's timeless word, and that's the advantage of a good translation. Do not be offended, but King James is very dated, and the language is very dated, and the meaning of those words has changed. Does anybody know what waxeth means? means to become. Who knew? And there's just so many things that you would get lost in, and too many people just have a King James Bible with no notes or anything, to no tools to help them, and no wonder they get bored and lost, because it's like, it says holy and it's awesome, I'm lost. You know, and so there's no way that they're going to really become a student of the Word like that. And so vital that you get a good translation. And you can go online and compare. I'll show you how in just a moment. And I want to do a little comparison. First of all, though, there's a couple paraphrases. Everybody say paraphrase. A paraphrase is not a translation. A paraphrase is trying to take the meaning and kind of tell it in a way that you understand it. Usually not done by a team, usually done by an individual or a couple individuals, and not based on language, but based on this is my understanding of this, and I'll try to bring that forward. My favorite paraphrase is the Message. And the Message, though, any paraphrase should not be your primary source. It should be secondary, tertiary even, but not your primary one. It's another way to fly over the mountain and get a view of it. It's like, that helps me to understand something. Another great paraphrase, the unfortunate thing is they call it a translation. It is not by any definition. It's the Passion Translation. And beautiful paraphrase, but it is not a translation. So if you can ignore that part, it bothers me a little bit that it's called that, because it was not formed that way. So just get over that part. It is, in fact, a beautiful paraphrase. Let me read for you here a couple of comparisons of translations. Are y'all with me? You good? Psalm 23:1 in the New King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's in the New King James. Watch this compared in the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The King James says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as a little kid, I thought, he's the shepherd, but I don't want him. And I thought, why is that in the Bible? So this helps you. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. New Living Translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. In the Message paraphrase, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. The Amplified Bible, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. Let's look at another one. Philippians 4:13, New King James. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. NIV, I love this. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. New Living Translation, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Message paraphrase, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. The Amplified Bible, love this. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And then today's English version. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Isn't that powerful stuff? And you need to find a translation that fits you well. Now, quickly, let me show you some online resources. These are free, and you can scope them out, and they will have commentaries, which I recommend, and parallel translations so you can compare, word studies, cross-reference, search, and all that. I'll just go through these real quick. Blue Letter, Bible Gateway, some of y'all may want to write these down or take a picture even, Bible Hub, Study Light, eSword, and there are others, and those are all free. Some of them are trying to add some premiums to it. I wish they wouldn't. And then software, everybody say software. Software is going to cost you some money, and I'm going to stand in front of you. I've spent way too much money. But I want to make sure I've needed what I needed. Then when I was in seminary, I needed some higher level kind of stuff. Probably the most respected is Logos, and they have a bunch of different levels that you can get into from, I don't know, less than $100 to probably about $4,000 or $5,000. Accordance, Olive Tree is one of the best ones for your phone. because Olive Tree works so well with your phone, and you can add on books and add on translations, and it works so well. Some of the others just don't work so well on your phone, and like you're sitting at a doctor's appointment or whatever, and you're waiting. Olive Tree is a good one. Sword Searcher, I've not used it, but it had some really good reviews. I kind of looked at it the other day. And then also Bible Soft has been around for a number of years. So these are some tools. Everybody say tools, because you're going to need some tools. Number one tool that you need, though, is a study Bible. A study Bible will help you get it in a translation that fits you. Let me move on. I got a lot to cover here. Technique. Everybody say technique. And just briefly on this, there are many techniques, but you need to have something that's like, yeah, that makes sense to me, and you'll do it. Here's one, RPM. First of all, read. Come on, everybody say read. So you want to read. One of the keys to understanding the Bible is to read it slow. Read it slow. So you don't just run through it. For example, if I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his own, go through, you know, nothing's going to happen for me. But if I read it slow, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. When you take your time, it is allowed to sink into the soil of your heart a little bit more. Read slow, let it speak to you. Second, ponder. Read, ponder, which is to think, consider, weigh, meditate. How many of you know how to worry? Come on, do I have any good worriers here? Come on. How many of this happens to you in the night? It's called rumination, where you get an idea and then here it goes again and again and again, right? That happens. Well, if you know how to do that, you know how to meditate. Amen. You just got to turn that whole thing around, and actually you can flip your worry and start to meditate using scripture instead of worrying about, oh yeah, and I've got to wash the car and get to the vet and do this and do this and wash the car and get to the vet and do this and wash the car and get to the vet, you know. You know how it goes. Well, you do that with the Word of God, and it'll turn around. Allow your brain and the Holy Spirit to work together and process some things. Read, ponder, memorize. Instead of memorizing it, learn it by heart. When you memorize Scripture, you actually are getting a good grip on the sword of the Spirit. There's a guy named Dawson Troutman. Back in the 1950s, he's the founder of Navigators. Some of you will be familiar with Navigators. But he drove a truck for a lumber delivery company, and he would drive his truck back and forth. So every day he would choose one verse. He would put it on a card, and one verse every day while he's driving back and forth, he'd take a chance at a red light or whatever, and he'd read it, and he would memorize a verse virtually every day. And the result of what he learned and the power he got out of that, he eventually developed Navigators. Numerous methods will help us in this way. And then you have easy recall when you memorize. So read, ponder, memorize. Here's another one, OIA. OIA, Orlando International Airport. Hey, you do what works for you, okay? Observation, so you read something, observation. What just happened here? What did it say? Secondly, interpretation. What does it mean? What's going on? And then here's the big part, application. What am I to do with this? Sometimes it's just to know something. I was in prayer from memorized scripture, declaring some things to the Lord this morning. You know, thank you, Lord, that I'm never alone. I'm never without help, that you're with me, that you give me favor like a shield, that you'll not leave me alone, that you'll give me the words to speak that I need, and so on and so forth. And it wasn't so much anything that I needed to do. It's something I needed to know. It's something I needed to believe. And then other times, you know, scripture will tell you, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Well, what do I do with that? Should I worry? No, instead of worrying, what should I do? I should pray. And so, you know, read it, observe it. Where'd it go? Interpretation. What does this mean? And then what am I to do about it? And then lastly today, treasure. This is huge. Treasure. Come on, everybody say treasure. How many of you have something you treasure? four of you. Somebody gave you something. You know, you bought this along the way. You made this. This was given to you. This is worth so much. You have something that, this belonged to so-and-so. You have something that you value, you treasure, you love it. The scripture interchangeably uses the word treasure and hide in the Old Testament. Your word I have treasured or hid in my heart so that I don't sin against you. And what it means is you treasure it so much, you hide it like a treasure so that no one could take it from you. And you've got to treasure, you've got to love it. Gabriel, the angel, came to Mary and shared with her about you're going to conceive of the Holy Spirit and you're going to bear a son and he's going to save his people from your sins. And the Bible says that Mary treasured those words in her heart and she pondered them. And then we find in the Psalms, David said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I want to read that again. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Listen to me. We're not just handling a religious book. This is God speaking to us. And when I can crack this open and take my time and value it and give it priority, it is going to speak into my life. And I don't just treat it as, oh, I memorized that, I read that, I've got that. This is God. I rejoice as one who just found great treasure. And you treasure and hold it in your heart and give it the value that it really should have in our lives. David also said, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. I want to read a couple more verses out of the Bible about the Bible that help us to really want to treasure this. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22 in the Message paraphrase. Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul, they're bursting with health. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the New Living Translation. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And then lastly, Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11 in the New International Version. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There is nothing, hear me, there's nothing like the Word of God. And the enemy of your soul knows that. The enemy of your soul knows the light and the life and the joy and the power, the instruction, the guidance, the wisdom. He knows. And he wants to keep you from it, keep you away from it, keep you out of it, keep it out of you, because he knows what it will do in your life. And what you need to do, we're living in the best days ever to be able to read and understand God's word. The goal would be understanding so that the final goal of application could happen in your life. So that we don't just have a religious book that we somehow revere, but we don't understand it. And we can't get into it for ourselves. And I want to dismiss that lie. You can get into the word of God for yourself. And if you'll make the effort and go about it the right way, I'm telling you what, God will meet you there and God will help you there. The Holy Spirit will help you. You've got to make it a priority in your life. You've got to treasure this word and said, I need this more than my necessary food, the prophet said. I crave for your word in that way. And I tell you what, we like to eat, don't we? But he said, I need this more than I need my necessary food. The Bible says that God has exalted his word even above his name. He's saying, this is so important. Don't do without it. And you and I, we know how now. We have tools now. Go ahead and start to do this now. Don't overwhelm yourselves, but step in. I'm telling you what I shared with you today. You can walk in. You can do this. And you're going to start to love God's word and understand God's word, and the lights are going to come on. The entrance of his word brings light, and it gives understanding to the simple. No wonder David said, oh, how I love your word. I think about it all the time. It's a life changer for us in every way. I pray that you will get all in the word of God and watch what it does in your life. And I make this guarantee, your joy level is going to come up. Your peace level is going to come up. Your clarity is going to come. Your confidence in just knowing who you are in God. I didn't say that you would live perfect and get everything right and understand everything right. But I tell you what, it's way better to be in the light and on the path than in the dark and in and out and all of that. It's better to be in the light of God's word. I'll stop right there. Did you get anything at all out of this today? I pray so.